Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, once our guest presents, it is with honor that we welcome them to come and to spend time with us and to open up themselves so that they can show us how they became who they are today and deposit tools and knowledge and wisdom so that you and I can become better human spirits while we are here on this beautiful earth of ours. Doc, welcome to Threads of Enlightenment.
Thanks for having me, Ken. I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. I just want you to tell them some of the things you do, some of the services that you provide currently, because I always say to people, creators always are busy. They're on the move. What you're going to hear in the next couple of minutes, I guarantee you when you touch base with him in a few more weeks, it'll probably be something different, additional to what he's done. So tell them a little of what you've done so far.
So, yeah, what I'm doing right now is I still am practicing as a general surgeon. So I work as a doctor, but I recently cut that practice back to part-time because I wrote a book and am doing a lot of coaching and mentoring, a little bit of consulting, but a lot of just one-on-one working with people, making tough choices in their lives and trying to help figure out how to do that well in the ways that serve them in their own future. So I've recently moved my focus to put a lot more time and energy into that piece of what I'm doing.
That is awesome. Better than Destiny, I think.
Yeah, that's the book.
So let's talk, Doc. It is my belief, I mentioned a little about it, I believe that you and I are all creators, everyone on this planet. And that is why I say that over and over, because I want people to, I'm hoping that it would sink in to people, to as my granddaughter would tell me that, and she's only 15, she said, "Papa, you need to learn how to level up." So I am constantly saying this to people so that they can level up, as my granddaughter would say, to look at themselves even more precious than they are. And Doctor, I always tell them, I said, look, you're so precious that you have industries that are making billions about how unique we are. Eye retina, fingerprints, voice recognition, face recognition, all of these industries that are making a ton of money about how unique we are. Talk to us about where your family life, when you come home from this wonderful hospital, mom and dad kissed you, and they brought you into this house and you have your siblings. Give us some of your background. I know people always say to me, Doc, I'm a little raw about this, because I say the first thing they put you in after they bring you out from the hospital, they put you in a cage. They put you in jail. And you're in this cage. And I believe that's where the program starts, because you're controlled. You can only go this far. And you see the baby constantly trying to get out of that cage. So talk to us about some of your upbringing and your family life.
Yeah, so I was lucky, I would say, in the sense of that cage for me was full of a lot of love and support. I grew up on a farm, as most kids do, I guess. At the time, I assumed that the world was like my experience of it as a kid, but I grew up with my parents and my brother and sister and animals and space to run around and a very supportive family. We were in a small town. And so my experience of some things was probably, circumscribed by the borders of that town. But my parents were always interested in travel, in teaching us about other people that weren't like us and lived in different places and did different things. And so as I grew up, I was kind of looking outward and eventually went to college. And that college experience, I learned a lot about myself and about other people who'd had other experiences that were a lot different than my own childhood. And along the way, I majored in physics. And then I didn't know what to do with that. And that was probably the beginning of this journey that resulted in the book Better Than Destiny and in me doing what I'm doing now, was this kind of a series of realizations around that time of, I've got gotten a great education in this topic, and I don't know what to do with it. And I knew I was pretty sure I didn't want to go into academics, get a PhD and teach and research. Mm-hmm. And so eventually I went into engineering, mm-hmm. and I was working in a company that makes high-tech stuff. And it was interesting, but it became pretty obvious to me pretty quickly that it wasn't where I wanted to spend decades of my life. You know, some people find that work very fulfilling. I did not. And that's when I had to do this reflection, or where I maybe didn't have to, but when it occurred to me to reflect on how I had made that decision, how I had ended up there, and had this realization that I hadn't done that with any sort of process, with any real reflection. I had just said, well, this is a job, and they'll take somebody like me with an education like what I have, so I'll go do that. And it got me a job, which was fine. But when I decided I wanted a different kind of job, I kind of needed to go up a level in how I thought about that. Otherwise, I was going to likely repeat the same experience. You know, I was going to find another job, and I didn't have any better chance of that one working out any better in the long run. Yeah. And that's when I started to kind of consciously, deliberately look into, you know, I'm probably not the first person who's ever struggled with this type of decision, you know, what to do for work, how to get a job, that sort of thing. And so then I started looking for what advice is out there, what have people done in the past, and what worked well and what didn't when they were facing, and at that time I was focused really on my own career decision. And I found some stuff that was helpful, and it helped me work through a decision. Eventually I chose to go into medicine, and that was its own path to go down the medicine path. But as I was pursuing that, I was also very interested in the fact that this had worked, that I could learn from other people's experiences and from research and people's reflections on what had worked and not worked well for them. And that I could start to apply those sorts of ideas to other important decisions in my own life and keep learning more about them. And that just kind of built over years into this fascination and now work in trying to learn and also share and teach the ways that lots of people have figured out how to define what we want to do and make decisions that actually move us in that direction and take the actions that move us towards our actual goals rather than just moving in a random direction away from where we are now.
I know life, I wish our education system, as you were talking, the thought came to mind about our educational system, because I think this is the problem with most people, is that we really don't know, because we've never been told, you know, to that part of what you're talking about. It's possibly one of the most influential thing that you would have to do as an individual, one of the most powerful things you have to do as an individual in order for you to make the life decisions that are necessary in order to create your life. I think if the educational system, Don, would benefit from even having a class with someone like yourself, come in and talk, you know, have a conversation with our young children today, or someone, you know, people that have gone through these things, to bring that aspect of learning to the forefront in the school system would help us to navigate as individuals and save us a lot of time. And I think it's that place is a scary place, and a lot of people don't go to it at all. That's why they don't know what they want in life.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, you could pick and choose any number of things that we learned in elementary, middle, and high school that we never used again. Yeah. And then you could substitute for them some things that we do a lot, but don't get a lot of formal education on. And I think, you know, solid decision-making, goal setting, defining what your values are, and aligning how you live your life with moving towards those big goals and your values, you know. And I think, you know, I've listened to you mention in the past that you like to talk to people about, you know, a statement of faith, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I would argue is really about defining the set of values that you're going to live in your life. Yeah. And I would argue that each one of those things is a decision. Mm-hmm. It's something you can consider and commit yourself to. And so that's a set of really important decisions. And then once you've made those decisions, they don't mean much unless you live those values, right?
Yes.
And that then is really how we live our lives, the quality of our lives and our relationships and our own happiness and our effect on those around us is all going to be related to those big decisions. And then mm-hmm. how we break those decisions down into the actions that we're going to take on any given day, whether they move us towards or away from our big goals and aspirations.
Yeah,
and I think you're absolutely right that's something that we should support each other in a lot. And one way we could do that would be also to have it be part of our education system.
Yeah,
lacking that, we got to talk to each other like this.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that that the education system is so dogmatic in how they approach things, because this one part, I believe, this one piece, right, what we're talking about, is such a powerful piece that it would save a child, an individual, years of, I know all of it comes back and becomes a part of our journey, I don't want to say wasting time, but maybe just steer us a little to our journey and our location as to what we want to achieve a little more quickly than if we didn't know. And as I mentioned, you said that statement is a faith. It guides your life. It now creates a value to you that you have to then take the steps necessary in order to bring value to what you just said, to bring it to pass. And so that statement of faith, as you said in your declaration, it's looking at your belief and all the different things. And that's why I label it your statement of faith. It's something that you, the individual, put all of this faith, your belief into it, and it becomes a powerful guiding post to move you through, to make you go and study, to make you go and bring it to pass, whether it's a position as a physician, a golfer, a garbage collector, whatever it is, you will then get up and bring it, make it palatable in your life. And you could look back a couple of years. They have studies about that, Doc. They call it goal setting, you know.
Yep. That's exactly right. And it's, I think, it's kind of like if you have a GPS, if I wanted to meet you at your studio today and I just asked my phone, take me to the studio, that's going to be it's not going to give me any useful information. But if mm-hmm. I know the name of the studio and the address, and I'm really specific about where I'm trying to go, it's going to help me understand a series of steps that I can take to get from where I am to where you are. And I think that's the same in our lives. If we say, well, I want to have a good life, I agree, but that's so diffuse and vague that I don't know how to act on that. But if I say I want social connection and I want to keep learning and I want to support my wife and children, then I can start to get my head around, okay, what would I do today mm-hmm. that would move me forward on supporting my family? Mm-hmm. And the more specific I get about those things, and the more I actually consciously articulate them and work backwards from them to what am I going to do this morning between now and lunch with my time and energy, the more those day-to-day actions add up to meeting those goals, to living those values that I've defined for myself. And I think that's where a lot of us struggle, is we have a very vague idea of some very nice thoughts that we want for our mm-hmm. life. And we have a lot of things we feel like we need to do in the day. And sometimes it's very hard to connect those things to one another if we don't take some time and energy to consciously do it. And that's, I think having a process for how we do that then allows us to make a lot of progress over time. Not that suddenly I'm the world's best father because yesterday I decided that I wanted to be a good father, and today I'm using that to decide how to write my to-do list for the day. But over time, over the lifetime of my family, I become better and better at this. And, you know, I make mistakes and I learn from them and I move on. But I know that, that big goal is stable, mm-hmm. and I can keep referring to it as I decide how I'm going to spend my time and what I'm going to put my energy into. And then over time, that results in, you know, a much better set of experiences for myself and the people around me.
That's your desired outcome. I tell people, and the reason why I always say to people, Doc, about creators, because again, I'm trying to get them to put in this image of the book of Genesis. Here's God comes on a situation, and I tell him that's when a creator will show up, when the place is dark. When the place is bright and nice, the creator is relaxing, because after he got finished, the Bible says he went on vacation. He just chilled out, you know. It says day 7, he's like, yo, man, I'm done. And he says, oh, this is good. I'm out of here. And he chilled. So I was saying to people, but when he showed up in the mess, in he wanted light. And he said, let there be light. And I tell people, you have to be specific with what you want. He couldn't say, let there be what? Nothing. The molecules and all the things that are necessary to create in our life is waiting for us to utter the words of specificity, in the sense of, this is what I want exactly. And I believe that when we do that, because we are energy, I believe that when we release energy, you are energy, everyone else is energy, it will bring to you that energy in the form of that person to help you fulfill what you just declared that you want to get done. And it took him 7 days, and in human term, it says that human term is 7,000 years. In dog term, I don't know how long that is, but in human term, it's 7,000 years. So let's look at it for that. In 7,000 years, the degree of care, the degree of thought that had to go into the expression of, I need light, I want this, you and I have to do the same thing, the very same thing. You can't be, like you said, if you say get to the studio, it has no direction. It can't release any power at all until we be specific. And I love that you said what you did, because that I'm staying here a little, because Doc, a lot of people are afraid to be right here. That's why I was camping here a little, having this conversation right here about taking some time and investigate this to, what are the things that make you happy? What are the things that you desire beyond, you know, materialistic stuff? Well, put those things aside, because guess what? When you go that deep, you'll be able to buy those other material stuff. You know, so go a little deeper and find out who you are. Okay, Doc, once you've done that, you've decided that you wanted to, you know, and now you're going to take the steps to make those changes. As we are all human beings and we go through all kinds of experiences, talk to me about some of those, for lack of a better word, I always say to people, some of those demons that you had created within your life, your thought patterns that you magnified, give permission to grow. Talk to me about some of those that you recognize in your life, and then you had to have a conversation. I say you have to have a conversation with those things. Talk to me about some of those that you recognize in your journey from moving. Once you made your decision.
So for me, I think one of the big struggles was just admitting that I'd gotten it wrong, that mm-hmm. I had made this, you know, I had been successful in school. Everything was going along well. I had a job that gave me benefits and a good salary. And at every step of the way, I kind of reinforced my own identity as somebody who has this figured out and is on track, whatever that mm-hmm. means. It seemed like I was just cruising down that track, right? And at some point, I could acknowledge, yes, I'm on that track, but I don't want to go where this track is taking me. And just admitting that might have been the hardest part, just to say, you know, getting off this track is going to be hard, but telling other people that I want to get off the track, that might have been harder than making the actual change, you know, and, or I guess in a way that is the first step of making the change is just admitting to myself and the people close to me, like that, this looks great. It's heading somewhere that lots of people think they want to go to. And I don't. And that discomfort then one with having to admit that like, there's a whole bunch of people in the world that would be super happy to be where I am right now, you know, at that point, and admitting that I was going to deliberately step off that track, derail the train, as it were, which, you know, I would like to say, switch it onto a different track. But for a lot of people, it's like, why would you derail that train? And that was very uncomfortable. And
how did along it make with you that, feel went that?
The
how
discomfort.
Did it make you feel? Because I know you'll continue that conversation. How did it make you feel? With the discomfort, and when you, I tell people, we all have to come to a place of surrendering to that that call that is inside of us. Talk to me. I know. Go back and talk about the discomfort, but also about that leading up to the place where you had to make that surrender. Because sometimes it's a difficult place to be. And I tell people, Jesus was there, and he was bleeding from his sweating. You know, he was sweating blood because he didn't want to make that transition. He didn't want to surrender. So how, talk about that space right there when it's difficult, but then making the move to go, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. I think for me, that was a kind of a turning inward first before to get solid on what my identity was in that place before I could share that with anyone else. And so for me, that was reflecting on the gap between what I had thought that I wanted, what other people would tell me was a good thing to want, and what I realized I actually wanted. And just admitting I think the beginning of the resolution was admitting to myself that gap was real.
Yeah.
That here's me, and here's an idea of how I want to be in the world over the next long period of time. And here's a different vision of my future that is the track that I'm currently on. And the fact that those are different took a while, but I just had to sit with that myself. And eventually I could say, okay, that is true. It is true that these things are different. The track that I'm on, and I don't even know what track I want to be on, but the general idea of where I'd actually like to be going doesn't overlap with where I'm headed right now.
Where you're headed. Yeah.
And once I can acknowledge that to myself, to say, you know what, that is true, then I can start to talk about it, at least with the people close to me. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, guess what? I'm not comfortable with this. And I don't have to, you know, tear everything down and give everything up right now. But one of the things I'm going to start doing is putting some of my energy into figuring out how to change course and which course I want to be on instead of the one I'm currently on. And then once those conversations start, now you're into a much more tractable problem. You're into a series of questions about what and how and why, rather than this, you know, semi-existential process of just figuring out, wait, I'm not interested in what I've told myself I'm interested in up to this point. And that big leap. And I think a lot of us get caught in that discomfort at many points in our lives, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where we're moving in a direction, and it takes effort to even consider the fact that continuing in the direction you're moving is a choice.
Yeah.
That to continue with the status quo is to, whether you're making it consciously or not, that's to make the decision to continue on that path. And it's the least effort in a lot of ways. You know, you don't have to think about it. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other, moving in the direction you're already moving. But as soon as you decide that you care about where that path takes you in the long run, then it is pretty quickly obvious that you should consider which direction your next step takes you in.
Yeah, that is so critical, because a lot of people, like you said, opt out to take the easy way out. I always say to people, personal growth is not for weak people. It demands courage over and over and over again. And the courage, the courageousness comes in the fact that you're stepping out and you have a clue, but you don't know everything. And to do that, to take those steps and to move in that direction takes a degree of courage. And people, sometimes miss it because it's so small. And I keep telling them it's a change of your perspective. As we had a conversation before, Doc, you first have to decide. And that's where you're going. You're looking at your situation going, I know there's this uncomfortness here. And so you are in that dance with the decision as to which direction. But you know, I don't like this one, but I don't know where. And so, but then as you go in, as they say, you go into yourself. And stop drinking the beers and dig deep and go into those quiet spaces that will, the monsters will show up. Your belief system will show up. The uncomfortableness will show up. And you want to get to the bottom of it all so that you can put some direction and some power into your direction and where you're going. I've seen so many people give up right there, Doc. I can't even tell you. I'm listening to your story and I'm thinking of a couple of people. I know when I was there as well. And I remember, look, I was in the hospital, almost died. And I'm looking at my life going, I know I could go back into that direction. And I'm going, I've been doing that. I've been unhappy. Why am I doing this and doing this damage to my inner core? And I had to make some decisions to get to that space of surrendering and going, I don't know where this is going to take, but I think I'm going to surrender to it. And so how did it make you feel, Doc? Because how did you make you feel when you make the transition? As I know we classify it sometimes as stress, anxiety, all those different things that we use to classify that uneasiness that you talk about. What happened to you when you did say, okay?
Well, I think that's a great feeling of relief, you know, and even though, you know, I didn't pick a simple path for myself, I went then to medical school. But I, maybe for the first time in my young adult life, I knew what I was moving towards and why. It wasn't just, I'm doing this because it's interesting now. I'm doing this because I'm supposed to get a job and this is a job that's available. It was, I have a vision of where I want to be and what I want to be doing with my time and energy. And there's going to be hard work along the way, but that hard work was towards a purpose. And that I think drives motivation. I would say, you know, if you're doing something, trying to change what you're doing in your life, whether it's a little habit or a big direction, and it feels like it takes a ton of willpower every day to do that, then you're probably missing something in that connection from what's important to you to what you're spending your time on. Because reminding yourself of that, as long as it's there, as long as you understand why you're doing the thing, really can orient you and focus the energy that you have on the things that matter for the goals that you've actually set for yourself. And that to me was the big relief of just going from that place of, it's like both feeling stuck on this path that mm-hmm. I didn't want to be on, and somehow simultaneously feeling unmoored, like I was drifting yeah. without direction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And both of those things went away once I made a decision yeah. that I was confident in, that yeah. I was confident in how I had made the decision. I didn't know exactly how it was going to turn out, but I knew why I was on this new path. And that yeah. I clearly didn't feel stuck on my old path because I was on a new one. And I also no longer felt unmoored and directionless because mm-hmm. I was working towards a value and a goal that I had chosen for myself. And so that yeah. gave me focus and energy and a much deeper feeling of reassurance and stability.
Yeah. I always say to people, find your focus and it'll find your purpose and it'll make you purposeful. Once you find it, it gives you direction that, and the energy. No one says it's going to be, people are lazy. You know, they think that everything should come to them. And I think that's just our society, Western civilization society, where we have, once we introduce fast food and all the type things, and we fast food and, you know, I think it just makes us lazy. It's a mentality that we accepted, that we were programmed into. But anything takes work. As I mentioned to you, this creation took 7,000 years. The detail that goes into that from our point of view is incredible. When you look at it from that point of view, when we look at 7 days, 7 days, yeah, but that's a totally different entity that can handle that 7 days. But you and I, for 7,000 years, you're putting these little pieces together. That's a pretty long time. That's someone with purpose. The reason behind, he said, I want to create man in my image. And then he's like, okay, I need to create some place to put him, you know? And so I want to put him in some place real good, you know? And he says, when he got done, he goes, he's like, man, this is beautiful. And then it says he dropped us in. He sat down and he put us together, made some mud and released us. And said, this is yours, I have dominion, and it's all yours. And so you're knowing your purpose, even God, knowing his purpose, made him purposeful in his approach and what he did to put things in place. You and I are not going to get away from this place until we do the same. There's no way. And so it's important that you make your decision, because the Bible says, decide a thing and it shall be established. What? If you decide it, Doc, you'll put in the work to make it happen, and it will energize you. Times will get tough, and when you're studying, during your study, you couldn't do certain things. You got to make sacrifices. You got to don't go out with the boys and party. You got to do this. It takes work to manifest. That phrase that you say that I talk about, a statement of faith. It takes work to manifest, and so. But the determination is that you want it so bad that you will do, because you made the statement to yourself, because you believed it. And because you believed it, you're going to do everything in your energy to make it happen. And if that's staying up late at night to study before a test, that's what it takes.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think what's also in the story that you're telling and in our understanding of you know, creating something of value in the world, creating something important, is this idea of both patience, but not waiting, right? Yep. That
yes.
there's yes. to create something that we really care about, that we're proud of, that means a lot to us, any or all of those things. It's not going to happen overnight,
yep.
but it's also not going to happen if we wait for it. And yep. so it's not that I have to build everything that I want in my life this week. Mm-hmm. I have to be patient, but I also have to be doing the building. I have to yeah. make the decisions, and then I have to act on those decisions to take the next step towards where I want to be. And I think both of those things are true. It takes time yeah. and it takes action. And what action you take, you're not going to know what action to take if you haven't made the decision about where you're headed, about where you're going.
So talk to me. You've made a decision. You're heading into school. You got your degree. You have your practice. But yet you did something back in the day that you were sitting down and you went and ripped away to see where you want to go and you learned certain. How did you, because now you're in your practice, but you still have this thing in the back of your head going, I need to put this thing down with these, you know, so I can think. Talk to me about that and the relentlessness of that exposure to the process by which you began your journey. How, because it doesn't stop. It just keeps coming in your mind and you had to sit down one day and say, okay, let me put this thing down. How did that come about and how did you came about and say, okay, let me write it and put it in the space?
Yeah, so that developed, again, over a long period of time. Once I realized that that was something that worked for me, that I could go mm-hmm. out and find information and learn from other people's experiences in a way that allowed me to kind of live my own life more effectively and more fully, I was interested in that. That was a great experience. And so I tried to learn more and I went through medical school. I learned a lot more about how to read scientific research and find mm-hmm. the good stuff. And over time, I just kept adding on understanding from psychology, from business school publications, from economics, all these things that look at how do humans make decisions, where and how do we make mistakes? How can we avoid those mistakes? What are the ways we can do it better? And along the way, I went through my medical and surgical training and got out into practice. And once I was in practice, I was working with patients every day, often with people who have to make a big, important choice about their own health, their own life, their own goals of care, and a choice about a surgery or not a surgery. Sometimes, you know, in the course of one conversation when we just met, and seeing that these things that I had learned initially that I had gotten interested in just to make my own career decision also applied to personal decisions in my family, talking to my wife about how we're going to raise our kids, and then in my clinic and in the hospital, talking to people about how they're going to make the decisions that affect their lives so significantly, or how they're going to make decisions for their loved ones who can't mm-hmm. speak for themselves. And over time, what I began to realize was that the processes were fundamentally deep down all the same of understanding why, of going through and lining up, understanding ourselves a little bit better and lining that up with what we're going to do next. And as I was in practice, in addition to seeing patients, I'm also working with medical students and teaching surgery residents and working with people in the hospital. And what just kind of started to happen organically was I realized people were coming to me. You know, I would have a nursing aide who I'd seen around the hospital and worked with and had a few conversations with here and there come to me and ask me, of all people, about a decision about whether to go to school for nursing or not. Or I would have somebody who I had mentored who called me up a couple years later to say, hey, you know, I have this career decision that's, I'm not sure what to do, and I wanted to talk to you about it. And at some point I realized that was saying something, and also that it was very rewarding for me personally, that I really enjoyed those conversations, trying to help these people understand their own goals and their own options, and not so much giving them advice, like this is what I think you should do, but more asking them questions and helping them understand what they wanted to do themselves, not what I thought they should do as an external advice giver. And all of those things, the more that I found that to be rewarding, the more I realized that I wanted to do that for more people, that it was something, and you and I talked a little bit before about how it may not be that everyone hears the message in the same way, but that if I can share the message in a way that impacts somebody, then I've done something that I'm very proud of and very satisfied with. And that was eventually what became the book, Better Than Destiny, was this, you know, 20, 25 years of learning this stuff and practicing it with different types of people, trying to distill that down into something that I could share and hopefully will be useful for people in its own form, that people can read what's in the book. And I tried to make it actionable. It's, you know, you can learn a little bit about yourself and thinking through the fact that these are things we all struggle with. And then you can also learn that all of us can learn, okay, here's some practical steps for how I can make a big decision and feel more confident about it, and how I can roll with the punches if things don't go my way, and set myself up for having the best chance of having them go my way. And that eventually was, you know, that kind of pressure of the experiences of how useful those things were and the pleasure I got from sharing them with people one at a time led me to try to organize it all into something that I could share more widely.
Yeah, that's awesome. I tell people that we go through those things and we are learning different recipes. We're learning about one specific recipe, but we're putting the spices here, we're trying this. And then one day, Doc, we cook this dish and it's absolutely perfect. And your dish is better than Destiny, Practical Science for Creating the Life You Want. That dish is what I tell people is that we finally got a chance to put it all together. And this is what we have accumulated in the journey, what we have noticed, the similarities, the process by which things happen. And we write it down into those pages. And anyone that is listening to us and everyone that is listening, I want you guys to buy Doc's book. Buy it, give it as presents to people, because everyone has to make decisions. Give it as gifts to people. Give it to, you know, give it to people you don't like, man. Just buy it and give them a present. Change their life and change yours. Because what he has talked about is necessary to get you from where you're at to where you need to be. And when you buy his books, I keep telling people, when you buy an author's book, it is your precious one-on-one. People pay thousands of dollars for those one-on-one experience. You can get it in a book. You can get it from a book. Sitting down with that person. And some of you that are so busy that you can reach him and get and speak to him, because everyone's world is different. You can get to him personally where you can talk to him, but you can get the insights that he has laid out in that book so that you can learn how to make that decision.
Thank you so much for stopping by Threads of Enlightenment. I really appreciate this.
I really appreciate your time, Ken. I really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir.